All right, let's take our Bibles, please, if you have a Bible with you. If not, there's one in the hymn rack right in front of you there. You may feel free to use it. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 for the message this tonight. Matthew chapter 2. I want to begin reading, please, in verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 12. So you follow along as I read the scripture, and of course you will recognize immediately that this is the account of the wise men coming to visit, coming to worship the Lord. So beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And notice that it does not say we have come to worship her. They came to worship him, the baby, the Lord Jesus. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was what? Troubled, yes. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Do you see that? Does that say baby? Does that say infant? No, it does not. They came and stood over where the young child was. All right, reading on. Notice in verse 10, it says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." All right, let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you primarily from verse 11. And I want to speak to you on the wise men. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the word of God, and thank you for allowing us the opportunity to open your word and to look at its truths tonight. And Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I ask you to help us tonight to see the simplicity of your word. And Father, I ask you to bless your word to our hearts. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear, And may the word of God make a difference for some folks tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to take my text tonight from verse 11. And I want you to look carefully at the first part of that verse. It says in the first part of that verse, and when they were come, what's the next three words? Into the house. Now, the hymns that we sung tonight and the beautiful song that Fran did just a moment ago is all about how the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the city of Bethlehem, but that he was born in a manger, in a stable, right? That's what the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2. I mean, it's very clear that when the shepherds were in the fields and they came as a result of the angels appearing to them, and when they showed up at where the Lord had been born, it was very clear that he was born in a stable, a place where animals were kept. And so here in this passage of Scripture, though, we read in verse 11 that when they were come into the house. Now remember, there was no room for them in Bethlehem. That's what the Scriptures teach also, isn't it? There was no room for them in Bethlehem. So that's why he had to be born in a manger in a stable. But now here in verse 11, the Bible says, and when they were come into the house. Now, folks, in the average person's mind, there is an understanding, basically because of manger scenes and because of television and because of Christmas carols, there is a popular understanding that when the shepherds showed up on that night that Christ was born, they had to push their way past the wise men who were already there. And that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is very clear here that in verse 11, that when the wise men showed up, they showed up at the house. Whose house? Joseph and Mary's house. And so there is no way that the Lord Jesus was an infant, a little infant, newly born infant, when the wise men showed up. They showed up in verse 11, it says, and when they saw the young child. Doesn't say when they saw the infant. And by the way, there are very specific Greek words for all of these definitions or words that are used, like infant, toddler, baby. There are various Greek words for that. The word that is translated here is the word that means a young child. You say, well, wow, I know. It's kind of shocking, isn't it? And when they saw the young child, folks, the wise men were not there when the Lord Jesus was born. What I think happened is that on the night that our Savior was born, that is when the star appeared in the east to the wise men. That's when the star appeared, and they set out to follow that star. You say, well, why would they do that? Because they're wise men. You see, you've seen the bumper sticker, right? That says, wise men still seek him. Well, they do. They do. And so I guess that the confusion lies in the fact that, you know, we just read the Scripture without stopping to think about all the individual words and what they mean. And when you're in Luke 2, it's very obvious that the Lord Jesus was a newborn. He was an infant. He was a baby. All right, but when you get to Matthew 2, it's very obvious that he is no longer in Bethlehem, and he is no longer a baby or an infant or in a manger, but instead is in a house. And so when the wise men showed up with their gifts, they came for one reason and one reason only, and that was to worship the one who had been born King of the Jews. You say, well, how in the world would they have known that there was a king going to be born in Israel? How would they know that? Well, do you remember when the Babylonians came? And by the way, these wise men were from the Babylonian area, what was known as the ancient city of Babylon, the Chaldean people. And what did they do? Well, they studied the stars. They mapped the stars. They kept close tabs on everything that was going on up in the heavens. Don't forget, folks, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And so, what better way for God to speak to their hearts than to put a star in the sky and lay it upon their hearts to follow that star in order to find the king who was born in Israel? You see, when the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem, they took 10,000 young people back to Babylon with them. And those young people would have taken their Old Testament scriptures. When they took their Old Testament scriptures, these people who were students, they were professional students. That's what they did, was they studied history and they studied writings and they sought to learn all they could about the known world. And so they no doubt called those Jewish young people in and said, teach us your scriptures. And so they did teach those scriptures. And don't forget that God elevated people in that era like Jeremiah and like Daniel and others, and those men knew the scriptures. God used them to prophesy about the coming king. And so that's how they knew that a king was coming to Israel. It is all through the Old Testament scriptures. And so now that the child is born, God put a star in the sky, and with that star, God led those wise men to come. Now, there's another little misnomer about that, about these men, and that is the number three. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that there were three of them. Nowhere. It says they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and no doubt that is where we get the whole idea of three wise men. No, there would have probably been in the neighborhood of 200 to 300 people in this caravan. Folks, you would not start across the barren deserts of Syria. You would not dare go across those deserts carrying all of these precious, expensive gifts without protection. This would have been a huge caravan, and there would have been soldiers on all sides protecting not only the men that were bringing the gifts, but the gifts themselves, which would have been worth a fortune. Everybody with me so far? All right, so here's what happened. They got into town, into Jerusalem, and by the way, you can't blame them for going to Jerusalem, can you? That's where I would have went if I had been one of them. I would have gone to the capital city, and I would have marched in to the man in charge, and I would have said to him, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And that's exactly what they did. And so when they asked that question, King Herod was really upset. You say, well, why was he upset? Because he was the king of the Jews. He was not about to give up his throne, especially to a Jew. Herod was not Jewish. And so he was not about to give up his throne. So he called the scribes and the religionists in, and he said to them, where do the scriptures tell us that the Messiah, the king, would be born? And they said, oh, well, the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, though thou be least among all the cities and all the princes of Judah, yet out of thee shall a governor come. So, Herod, Bethlehem, that's where he'll be born. And so, Herod calls the wise men in, tells them, fellas, 6 miles down the road, just follow the ridge, 6 miles, and you'll find Bethlehem. And that's where the king will be born. So the wise men turn, and as they're turning, King Herod says, oh, one more thing. When you have found him, bring me word where he is, because I want to come and worship him also. Now, that was a liberal lie right there. That was a lie, folks. He did not want to go worship. He wanted to go execute. He wanted to kill the baby Jesus. That's why that he sent his soldiers down to kill all of the children 2 years of age and under. So what I think happened was it took those men 2 years to get direction, to get their trip together, to get their support together, and to make their way across the desert to get to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 2 years. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then 2 years later, the wise men show up. Now, as they were going to Bethlehem, the star appeared. Evidently, the star had gone away. But then the star appeared again, and instead of taking them to the southeast, to Bethlehem, it took them northward to Nazareth. And there is where Joseph and Mary and the young child were. Isn't that neat? And that's where they found him. That's where they found him. When the wise men came into the house, they saw the baby? No. They saw the infant? No. They saw the young child. Probably about two and a half at most years of age. Now, doesn't that make a whole lot more sense? When you read the Bible and you see it for what it says, instead of just trying to put them all in the same bowl, I think it does. Now, I want you to think about this real quickly, and I'll be done. I want you to think about, let me give you three little quick things, all right? Three little quick things. Don't you think that even before these wise men left their Chaldean neighbors, don't you think that all of them were saying, you're going where? And you're going there, why? You're crazy. You guys are crazy. You're going to take all this money with you? You're nuts. You shouldn't go across the desert. I mean, how are you going to handle those freezing nights? How are you going to handle those burning hot days? How are you going to cross those rivers? I mean, you're nuts for doing this. But nothing would dissuade them. They pressed on, and all their effort is summed up with the opening words of verse 11. The Bible says, and when they were come into the house, they pressed and they found him. They pressed and they found him. Now, thought number one, the secret of their perseverance is easy to see. It's really easy to see. You say, I just don't understand why they would just keep on looking. 2 years, they gave up 2 years of their lives. Yes, they did. Why did they keep looking so diligently? You know, the trip itself would have been exhausting, don't you think? But then to get to Jerusalem and find that not one single person knew anything about the person they were looking for. Isn't that amazing? Would you have gotten discouraged right there? I believe I would have. They come into town, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And everybody looks at them like they're crazy. What do you mean, king of the... We don't know about any king being born. King of the Jews? Why, Herod is our king. But they were not going to quit, were they? No, the reason they kept going was because they were following a star. That was their line of work, folks. Stars. They watched them. They mapped them. They studied them. They spent their whole lives knowing what the heavens looked like at each and every day of the year. And so when they looked up and saw that star, and then the Lord impressed upon their hearts, follow this and you'll find the king. So they did. They did. And when they came, they found him. Now, had they been guided by anything less than that, I believe that they would have given up and quit before they even started. Do you think, folks, that if they had been sitting in one of the Chaldean libraries and had gotten hold of some ancient text that said the Son of the Living God was to be born in Israel, do you think that would have been enough to motivate them to get up and pack everything down to Jerusalem? Well, I don't. But they had that knowledge evidently, and so when they went out and looked up and saw the star, that was what gave them the motivation. You see, God spoke to them with that which they were the most familiar with, the stars. They needed more, something more than just some earthly thing to move them and motivate them. They needed something heavenly. They needed something that they could not explain that would cause them to know that it was a sign from heaven. And that's what God gave them. That's exactly what God gave them. Folks, they needed something heavenly. They needed something that could not be explained by men, but that which was a sign from heaven. And I think that they were so strong in looking for the Savior, for the King of Kings, because of heaven's light that was guiding their steps. Now, you know, we have a light today. It's called the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And John went on to tell us that this Word, the Lord Jesus, is light. That light is what is shining here tonight through the words of this book. Folks, I did not come in here tonight and open the Time magazine and read you out of Time magazine. I did not come in here tonight with the Carroll County Times and read to you from the Carroll County Times. No, I said, open your Bible. And that is light. Folks, we need to be following the light. These men were following the light that they were given, and they found what they were looking for. And that light will guide you as well. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice that they persevered until they found the Christ. 2 years. 2 years. And then when they got there, nobody knew where he was. Nobody understood. Nobody had an answer for them. But they did not quit, did they? I said in my introduction that they did not show up in Bethlehem on the night that Jesus was born. No, the text clearly tells us that they did not. On the night Christ was born, they were Joseph and Mary and the Lord Jesus were at the inn, and they were there because there was no room for them. So they were under the inn in a stable where the animals were kept. They showed up when the Lord Jesus was at his own home in Nazareth. That's where Joseph and Mary lived. Notice verse 11, when they were come into the house. Now, folks, think of all the people in the city of Nazareth. Do you think that any of them knew that the Messiah lived there? Do you think any of them knew? I don't. I mean, here is the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, and a whole city full of people, and you have to wonder if any of those folks even knew that he was there. And I really don't think they did. I don't think they had any understanding at all of that. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? The people in Jerusalem didn't even know that the king had been born. They didn't even know it. That was their question to Herod. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And I'm sure that they were asking it of people around Jerusalem. None of them knew. Then they got to Nazareth and they asked up there, no doubt. And nobody in Nazareth knew where he was. Here all these people in the vicinity of the Savior, and yet, nobody even knows he's been born. And you know, folks, that's the way it is here in America, is it not? There's a church on every corner. Especially when you go south. Man, you go south, get off the interstate and go through some of these little towns along the interstate. And you'll come to a highway and a stoplight and you'll notice there's the First Baptist Church right there. And then there's the Second Baptist Church right there. And then this one over here is a split off of the second one. And they call it Third Baptist Church. And this one over here calls itself Confusion Baptist Church. They're everywhere. But how many people are looking for the Savior? How many people are looking? How many of them even know He came the first time? How many times have you asked somebody, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, no. Can you know that? Well, yeah, you can know that. Well, I don't know that. Man, I've had a lot of people tell me they did not know that. I asked a fellow one time several years ago, I said, if you were to die, do you know you'd go to heaven? No. I said, well, did you know you can know? No, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, you can. He said, is this going to be about church? I said, no. Oh, okay. He said, well, then how can you know? I said, have you ever heard of Jesus? This is America, folks. This young guy looked at me and said, who? Who? I said, son, have you ever been in church in your life? Nope. Not once. Nope. You've never even been to a funeral. Nope. That's the way so many people in our world are today. They don't know anything about the Lord. Not a thing. And that's so sad. Folks, listen. There is a Savior. Amen. There is a Lord. There is one who was born King of the Jews. And He is coming back to this world to be that King and to sit upon the throne of David and reign forever. I want you to know, folks, God is not through with this world yet. They persevered and did not let anything keep them from getting to the Savior. And my friend, listen, you should not let anything keep you from getting to the Savior. Do you know Him tonight? Do you know Him? You know, we get ourselves so busy with everything going on around us. Well, don't miss the Savior. Don't get so busy you miss the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. The birth of our Savior into this world. Then the last thing I want you to see quickly. Notice why the wise men saw Him when nobody else did. Notice why the wise men saw Him when nobody else did. Folks, they saw Him because they were looking for Him. You know, you see what you're looking for, don't you? Huh? Yeah, you do. You see what you're looking for. You don't want to ask a buzzard to give you a description of the landscape. He has no idea what the landscape looks like. No idea. Now, he can tell you about that deer that got run over by a car. He can tell you all about that. He can tell you about the raccoon that got ran over on the road. He knows all about that. But he doesn't know anything about the beauty of the landscape. You see what you're looking for, right? Do you remember what's that little nursery rhyme? Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? He said, I've been to London to see the Queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what did you there? I spied a little mouse under her chair. What? What? You spied a mouse under... Man, you're in London. You've got the splendor of all that English stuff. You've got a throne. You've got carpets hanging on the wall. You've got guards. You've got gold and silver and everything's shiny as it can be. You go over there and you see a rat. But you know why the pussycat saw the rat? Because that's what he was looking for. He's a cat. Cats eat mice. Folks, you see what you're looking for. I hope that you'll be like these wise men and say, you know, I'm going to look where I need to be looking. I'm going to look to the Lord. You know, you've been looking at the world for a long time. What's it got you? Huh? What's it got you? You've been looking at sin for a long time. What's that got you? How about looking to the Lord? These men found what they were looking for because they knew what they were looking for, and they weren't going to stop until they found it. Thank God for the diligence of the wise men. Oh, and by the way, wise men still seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts tonight. It is so important that we look beyond now and realize that there is an eternity that awaits us all. And so the question is, are we looking in the right place at the right person? And Father, I pray you'll speak to hearts tonight. There may be someone here who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven. If they were to die, they don't know for sure that they're going to heaven. And Father, I pray that you will speak to hearts tonight. If there is someone here, or maybe several someones here, who are not 100% sure, I pray that you will speak to their heart tonight and help them to look to you. Bless your word, Father, we pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one's looking around for just a moment. And I want to ask you a couple personal questions, and I'd like for you to be as honest with me as you possibly can. Let me ask you this question, just point blank. Should something happen to you, God forbid that it would, but should something happen to you, do you know for sure, beyond any shadow of doubt, that you're going to heaven? Do you know that? My friend, if you know that, you ought to rejoice and thank God for that knowledge. Because there is a lot of people, there's a lot of people in this world, and they don't know that. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't know that. Well, I just told you how you could know. It's through trusting the Lord. I am not asking you to trust me. I can't save you. I'm not asking you to trust the Church of the Open Door. Church of the Open Door can't save you. But I know somebody who can. And that's the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and as sinners, we need a Savior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You take that word death and you trace it all the way through the New Testament, and you end up over in Revelation chapter 20, where the Bible says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. That's serious business, folks. You don't want to go there. Trust me on that one. You don't want to go there. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that simply means to pray. To pray. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how you do it. You call upon the name of the Lord. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please, and no one looking around, if you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior right now, at your seat, I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm not asking you to join anything or buy anything. I'm asking you, do you want to go to heaven? And if you do, you need to receive the Lord as your Savior. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me if you're not 100% sure? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner. And as a sinner, I need a Savior. And so right now, I call upon the name of the Lord, and I ask the Lord Jesus to come into my heart to forgive me of my sin and save my soul. I repent of my sin, and I give my heart to you. And Father, thank you so much for saving me. Now, my dear friend, if you prayed that prayer with me just now and you meant it, would you slip your hand up where I can see it? Just raise your hand so I can see it. All right, good. God bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Good. I'm so glad for your decision. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hold your hand up where I can see it. How about upstairs? Anybody? Anybody upstairs? All right, Father, you know our hearts tonight, and I just want to thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. I know that the overwhelming majority of folks in this room are saved and on their way to heaven. But, Father, thank you for these two who raised their hand tonight. There's two that will be forever in heaven, not because of me or because of this church, but because they have called upon your name and asked you to save them. And Father, you cannot lie. You said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These folks called, and you saved them. And Father, thank you for that. Now I pray that you will bless as we stand to sing a closing hymn. And Father, I pray that you will continue to use your word to make a difference in hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.